الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وقال تبارك وتعالى ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد Respected listeners, as advertised, the talk is about selfishness. And the verses and the hadith which I recited in the beginning are related to the same topic of selfishness, selflessness, and self-sacrifice. Not too long ago, I was listening to part of a debate on radio. And in this particular debate, there were many prominent individuals who were contributing to the discussion. And the points that they were raising and discussing, the main point, was about the selfishness of people in this society and in this day and age, and that it's become a thing of great concern. To all people. The people who were participating in this debate were leading and prominent people, but not necessarily religious. Some of them were atheists, some of them may have been nominal Christians or of some other belief. And there were one or two priests as well. And what really struck me was that here is a group of non-Muslims actually concerned about how selfish people have become. Most of them are atheists. They have no belief in Allah, in a creator, in God. They do not believe in any concept of life after death. For them, for many of them, there's no such thing as organized religion. Many of them have no faith whatsoever. Yet they still consider selflessness, sacrifice, giving preference and privilege to others, showing consideration to others. They still consider all of these things to be very moral and good and desirable. And if they see people behaving, acting contrary to the spirit of selflessness and sacrifice, then it concerns them. And what struck me is that they have no belief in the Akhirah, yet they are so concerned. On the other hand, we as Muslims, our religion, more than any other faith, more than any other ideology, more than any other way of life, our religion teaches us more about sacrifice. And our religion teaches us more about self-denial and selflessness than any other religion. Yet, sadly, we have adopted all the selfish ills of non-Muslims, and we have added to them ourselves. And the level of selfishness to be witnessed in the Muslim community is unbelievable. And the truth is, we will never attain righteousness and piety. We will never be successful in religion. We can never become close to Allah. And we can never be true believers until we develop in ourselves this spirit of sacrifice, self-denial, selflessness, more consideration for others, and less selfishness and less self-centeredness. Even as believers, even as Muslims, we pray, we fast, we give in the way of Allah, we go for pilgrimage, we frequent the masajid, we appear to be practicing people. But even amongst practicing Muslims, who dress Islamically, who speak Islamically, who behave Islamically, apparently, there's such a level of selfishness that it's unbelievable. And selfishness at times can be the root cause of many ills. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in at the end of one verse which I recited in the beginning from Surah Al-Hashr, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, that whoever is protected from the greed and from the covetousness of his soul, which means selfishness. Greed and covetousness and avarice, these things stem from selfishness. A person wants something for oneself, that's the same as greed. So shuh in this verse means greed, but it speaks about selfishness because of the context, inshallah, which I will explain later. So when I say greed and avarice, that's speaking about selfishness. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, whoever is protected from the greed of his soul, from the avarice of his soul, then these are the ones who are successful. Once, a tabi'i, one of the successors to the companions, he relates that he was doing tawaf around the Kaaba, and he saw one person praying to Allah besides the Kaaba, and he was just constantly repeating one dua. He was saying, Allahumma qini shuhha nafsi. Oh Allah, protect me from the greed and avarice of my soul. Similar to the words of the verse, Allah says, whoever is protected from the greed of his soul, then these are the ones who are successful. And he was praying, Allahumma qini shuhha nafsi. Oh Allah, protect me from the greed of my soul. So this tabi'i went up to him, and when he arrived close to him, he discovered that this person was none other than the famous Sahabi radiyallahu anhu, one of the 10 exclusively and specially promised Jannah, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And he asked Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that why are you just constantly repeating only one dua? That Allahumma qini shuhha nafsi, O Allah, protect me from the greed of my soul. So Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, if Allah protects me from the greed of my nafs, from the greed of my soul, then I will not commit zina, I will not commit theft, I will not unlawfully take another person's wealth, etc., etc. That selfishness, the greed of one's nafs, this lies at the core and the root of so many evils. And Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu explained it beautifully. That I pray for the protection of the greed of my soul. Because once Allah grants me that, that will protect me from theft, from zina, from adultery, and from so many other sins, from unlawfully consuming the wealth of another Muslim. So selfishness is rampant, and it's a root cause of many evils. And because selfishness is to do with the heart, it's an inner disease. It's an ailment that's contained within. Of course, it manifests itself in many different ways, but it can't be recognized as one thing directly. Because of that, most of us are in denial. We think we are not selfish. And therefore, we will not even make an attempt to eradicate this evil from ourselves or to check its advance. Nothing. We will consider ourselves to be protected from the selfishness of our nafs. Selfishness is destructive. It's dangerous. And it lies at the root and at the core and the foundation of so many of our problems, both in our own lives as well as this strife and discord in the Muslim community. Because the bottom line is, everybody is just out there for themselves. Everybody is looking out just for himself. And we live in a society that promotes selfishness, that preaches it as being a good thing. The media, soaps, dramas, films, magazines, advertisements, billboards, posters, every single thing around us, this whole machinery of the media, of film, of propaganda, this whole machinery preaches to us and propagates to us constantly that you should be concerned only about yourself. Self-centeredness, selfishness, self-survival, serving one's own interests. This message is pumped out to us in schools, in colleges, in universities, in books, like I said, in films, in drama, in even in music, and through the media. There, as a result, as these people who were non-Muslims, they were so concerned about the selfishness of people. People have become so self-centered, it's unbelievable. Nobody's got time for anybody else. Nobody wishes to spend on anybody else. Nobody wishes to help anybody else. And whether it's help, whether it's giving time, everybody, first of all, calculates mentally, what am I going to get out of it? What is there in it for me? Only if someone feels that they are going to get a reward, a tangible physical reward, will they even proceed to help or to give time or to make any sort of sacrifice. But then it's not sacrifice, it's not charity, it's not a donation. A person is merely doing something in order to receive something better and greater at the end of it. And why is this message being promoted in this way? We may not realise, but if we study it very carefully, the message that selfishness is good, it's healthy, it's natural, it's productive, it's helpful, this message is pumped out to us so strongly that sometimes even Muslims respond by saying, there's no harm in being selfish, that's human nature. We're all selfish, and you have to be selfish. Ma'adallah, this belief of selfishness actually is related to kufr in a very particular way. You see, I don't know about the percentage, but many, many people in this godless and atheist society, they believe that there is no creator, there is no life after death, there is no God. That ultimately the world has evolved and we are just advanced primates. We are just advanced animals. And we've reached this stage in our evolutionary process through natural evolution and natural selection. So ultimately we're all animals. We're no different to the apes, we're no different to the chimps, we're no different to the monkeys. They're our cousins. And we're no different to any other animal. We've all just evolved from the same origin and just branched off. So this belief stems from the belief in evolution in this kufr, that ultimately we're all animals. And just like animals, with any living organism, what's the basic instinct? The basic instinct is survival. Every living cell, every living insect, bird, animal, whatever, its basic instinct is to survive. Eat what it wants, do what it wants, get what it wants, ultimately in order to survive. So, survival, looking out for oneself, selfishness, getting what one wants all the time, self-centeredness, that's natural, because this is the basic instinct of every living thing. So just like animals, an animal sees something. It has no sense. It's just got this basic primordial instinct to survive and to get what it wants. It will go for it. And in order to get what it wants, if anything comes in the way, it'll trample it. If anyone comes in the way, it'll remove it. And it gets what it wants. Once it gets it, it doesn't realize what it's got. So these people who preach selfishness, ultimately it stems from this belief of theirs that we are advanced animals. And because we're animals, survival is our basic instinct. Serving our own interest is natural. That's what we are. Therefore it's good to be selfish. It's good to be that selfishness is productive. Selfishness is helpful. Selfishness is good. This is a godless belief. But for those who believe in Allah, in the Akhirah, in creation, for those who believe in Islam, then Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have taught us
totally otherwise. Selfishness is not good at all. It's not healthy in any way. And this idea that it's good to be selfish, you should always look out for yourself, you should only be concerned with yourself, and you should get what you want. We Muslims, this is what we practice, this is what we preach to one another, this is what we believe. To what extent only Allah Azza wa Jalla knows about each one of us. But it's certainly manifest in our community. That whether it's to do with the dunya or whether it's to do with the deen, every man and woman, young and old, is out there looking after himself and herself. Even in deen. And it's sad. The kuffar are concerned about the selfishness of the non-Muslim society. But when we look at our own Muslims, we see nothing different. People out there have become so self-centered. Nobody's got time for anybody. Nobody's got wealth for anybody. Nobody's got the time to assist anybody. Everybody wants payment. Look at the road. People can't even stop on the road carefully. Everybody's trying to get there first. And that's why incidents of road rage have become so common. Each person cannot spare 2 seconds. People cannot wait for 2 seconds. Only yesterday, someone informed me that here in this city, he was driving, and there was a Muslim woman, driving on the same road. It was his right of way, and she wanted to go past, a Muslim woman. Because it was his right of way, he continued. That's it. She couldn't tolerate it. And being a Muslim woman, and him being a Muslim, clearly being a Muslim with a hat, with a beard and a thobe, she started swearing at him and sticking up fingers at him. And as long as he drove past, she continued to abuse him. That's not to suggest, ma'adallah, that only women do this. Obviously, men do this more. Men kill. Men kill for road rage. Just because someone takes over and they feel that, no, I should have got there first, they'll come out and bludgeon the driver to death. And we've seen that happen on so many occasions. Instances of road rage and so many other disputes and arguments, a lot of them arise from this selfishness. But nobody's got time for anybody else. Not even to assist, not even to help, not even for consideration, absolutely nothing. We are extremely selfish. Even when it comes to deen, I don't want to give examples of the dunya. Everybody knows the examples of the dunya. Nobody wants to do anything for free. The first question is, regardless of whether it's actually voiced or not, first question is, what am I going to get out of it? Forget that. Let's look at religion. How selfish we are in religion. Begin from the masjid. We come to the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Sometimes, not always, but often. If someone's asked, why do you pray salah? Why do you do ibadah? Why do you worship Allah? Why do you practice? The answer is, I practice because before, I never used to practice. And I had wealth, I enjoyed myself, I had a good job, I had a good career, I had a good social life, I had this, I had that, I had this, I had that. But I still didn't find the happiness that I sought. I still didn't find the comfort that I sought. And I didn't get that peace of mind. But as soon as I started practicing, that's what I've got. So my peace of mind lies in my practicing. Ask someone, why do you pray salah? I pray salah because for me, salah gives me a sense of discipline. Salah enables me to focus myself. Salah allows me to take a break from the chores and the difficulties of the dunya, even for a short while. Salah even momentarily gives me some peace and quiet. Why do you fast? I fast because it helps me achieve my goals. It helps me discipline myself. I fast because I feel a sense of achievement. I fast because I feel I've done something good. I feel I've accomplished something. Why do you go for Hajj? Again, it's a lifetime dream to be able to go to Hajj. It's my ambition. It's what I've always wanted to do. For me, it's the greatest accomplishment in life that I can go for pilgrimage, I can go for Hajj or for Umrah. And for me, that is the ultimate journey, etc., etc., etc. Whether it's to do with zakah, why do you give zakah? I give zakah because I feel that it purifies my wealth. I give zakah because I feel I've helped. I give zakah because I feel I've done my bit. I give zakah because it makes me feel good. It makes me feel less guilty about the rest of my wealth, etc., etc. If you look at every one of these answers that are very, very common, one will notice that in all of them, it's just me, I, myself, mine, my. It's my ambition, it gives me solace, it gives me comfort, it gives me happiness, it makes me feel as though I've accomplished something. In every one of these answers, there's selfishness. Allah Azza wa Jal says, أقم الصلاة لذكري. Establish salah for my remembrance. That's all. Establish salah for my remembrance. That's Allah's prime instruction. Establish salah for my remembrance. Give zakah because I tell you to. In a hadith related by Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam relates in a hadith Qudsi, related by Imam Bukhari and others, Allah Azza wa Jal says, كل عمل ابن آدم له إلا الصيام فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به. That every deed of man belongs to him except fasting. Except fasting. For fasting is for me and I alone shall reward it in the Akhirah. And that's why it's mentioned in other hadith that Allah will instruct the angels to give the reward for all of the good deeds except fasting. Allah alone will assume responsibility for rewarding the individual directly because of the fast. And in another hadith it's mentioned clearly why. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, my servant remained hungry because of me. He remained thirsty because of me. He abstained from his other desires because of me. So whether it's salah, it's for Allah's remembrance, or it should be for Allah's remembrance. Fasting, it should only be for the sake of Allah. And every other ibadah. Peace, solace, comfort, accomplishment, and all of these other things are secondary rewards. They're bonuses. One doesn't work specifically for the bonus. And the bonus is a thing which, like in any law or custom, if it's given, it's given, it's good. If it's not, no one can demand it or expect it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam in some ahadith has said, that when a person does this, Allah azza wa jal, a good deed, whether it's salah, zakah, hajj, etc., Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him a reward. But if you look at most of the rewards, they are all related to the akhirah, to the hereafter. Of course, in some instances, Allah azza wa jal say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained that Allah will take care of his rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide comforts for him. Allah will give him peace of mind and comfort and inner contentment, etc., etc. But in all of these cases, these are secondary rewards. And the thing with secondary rewards and bonuses is that if Allah chooses, He gives it. If Allah chooses, He doesn't give it. But the reward of the Akhirah does not go anywhere, inshaAllah. The reward of the Akhirah is secure as long as a person's intention is sincere and remains sincere even after the deed. So Allah says, establish salah for my remembrance. And we've gone about personal accomplishment, feeling a sense of achievement, discipline. Very twisted idea of selfishness. Ultimately, even in salah, even in zakah, even in hajj, there's a selfish motive. I give zakah because it makes me feel good. I give zakah because it makes me feel less guilty about the rest of my wealth. And very clear example of this is Hajj and Umrah. In Hajj and Umrah, people travel to the Haramain for Hajj and Umrah. And the intention should only be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet what do we see on the journey? Bickering, arguing, selfishness. Everybody wants the best seat. Everybody wants the best view. Everybody wants the best room. Everybody wants the best food. Everybody wants things to be done at the precise time according to their convenience and according to their want. There's no patience at all, no consideration for others. People have come for a pilgrimage to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet they are disabled people, people in wheelchairs, people frail of age, and yet young, strong, sturdy men are racing past them, throwing them aside, barging into them in order to do what they want first. Often there's a rampage. And so many people have died over the years, especially recently, in Mecca during the rites of Hajj, in Mina, and on other occasions, because of a stampede. Because everybody is just too worried about getting it over and done with themselves. When it comes to doing the rami, pelting the stone, pelting the jamarat, doing other things, even in tawaf, one of the most amazing spectacles, but most saddening spectacles, is the way people go to kiss the Al-Hajr al-Aswad. The Al-Hajr al-Aswad. To kiss the Al-Hajr al-Aswad. No one has said it's farad. No one has ever said it's wajib. In fact, I do not know of any scholar who said it's sunnat mu'akkada. I may be wrong, but I don't know of any scholar who's ever said that kissing the Al-Hajr al-Aswad is a sunnah mu'akkada. It's sunnah. And the way Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, used to kiss the Al-Hajr al-Aswad is well known. He would stand erect before the Al-Hajr al-Aswad and addressing the black stone, he would say to it, that, "O stone, I know that you cannot harm me or benefit me in any way. You are but a stone. And if it wasn't for the fact that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam kiss you, I would never kiss you." And then he'd bow down onto the stone, lean onto the stone and then kiss it and do istilam thoroughly. But kissing the black stone, kissing the Al-Hajr al-Aswad, is not sunnah mu'akkada wajib or farah. It's not an integral part of Hajj or Umrah. Yet everybody has his personal dream of being able to kiss the Al-Hajr al-Aswad and then go back home and boast about it for the rest of their lives. And probably feel that when I grow old, I'll tell my grandchildren around the fire that your grandpa managed to get through to the black stone and he kissed it. He's special. And what do people do in order to kiss the Al-Hajr al-Aswad? Astaghfirullah. Some of this, sometimes, like I said, the very demeaning and saddening spectacle in the mataf. Young, strong, broad-built men punching, nudging, elbowing, shoving others, sometimes trampling people, men and women clashing in the corner of the Kaaba, everybody in order to kiss the Al-Hajr al-Aswad. People fight, people punch one another, kick one another, elbow one another, and people have been thrown onto the mataf floor and nobody can help them. Or only if the police or the guards or a large group of people intervene are they able to rescue them. All because somebody wishes to kiss the black stone. In order to fulfill one's own selfish dream. It's twisted selfishness. Ultimately, it's selfishness. It's related to religion, but it's selfishness. In order to complete and fulfill one's selfish dream, people will commit 10 sins in order to kiss the Al-Hajr al-Aswad. I should be able to do it. I can do it. If I feel better, the person feels that he's accomplished something just by kissing the Al-Hajr al-Aswad. Even if it means trampling on people, nudging women, pushing women, crushing children, it doesn't matter. Once there was a really strange incident. It was actually recorded on camera. It was Jumu'ah Salah. And the Imam of the Haram started the Jumu'ah Salah. And he was well into his tilawah of Surah Al-Fatiha. And obviously, everybody was standing in Salah, in the heat of the midday sun in Jumu'ah. And one chap from the front row, he was already in Salah, he noticed, oh, no one's at the Al-Hajr al-Aswad. So he broke his Salah, ran to the Al-Hajr al-Aswad, kissed it a few times before one of the guards was guarding it pushed him away, and then came back and stood in Salah. He probably felt, Jumu'ah I'll get every week. When am I going to get another opportunity to kiss the Al-Hajr al-Aswad? It's selfishness at the end of the day. As I was saying, start from the masjid. People come to the masjid. Why do you come to the masjid? Oh, when I come to the masjid, I feel peace, tranquility, solace, comfort, contentment of the heart, peace of mind. I feel serenity. I feel all of these things. I can get away from the dunya. This is where I find peace. It's me. This is what I want to do. Me, myself, I. And that's why, because people even come to the masjid for selfish reasons, we see what we see. In Jumu'ah, in Ramadan, in Taraweeh, we see it all the time. I don't need to go beyond, speak about this masjid. In Taraweeh Salah in Ramadan, why have you come for Taraweeh? Stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to listen to the tilawah of the Qur'an? Or have you come because it makes you feel better that I'm worshipping Allah, I'm doing something, I'm achieving something? Because it's a selfish reason, that's why we see what we see. Taraweeh, the imam's reciting. All of a sudden there's a bit of a commotion. After the two rak'ah, what's the commotion about? One young man feels hot, he switch on the fan. 50-year-old man in the next row feels cold. And they start arguing. Half of the congregation wants the fans on, the other half wants the heaters on. Nobody feels that I'm standing in the masjid of Allah. However it is, hot, cold, it doesn't matter. I've come for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let me tolerate whatever conditions there may be. But no, everybody wants his own comfort. Every single person. A person comes into the masjid, he can't see that there are 3,000 other people here. No. If I'm feeling hot, the fans must come on. Forget everybody else. If I'm feeling cold, the heaters must come on. Forget everybody else. When Salah finishes, I should be given special rights and a special route to exit. That's why after Salah, everybody's rushing outside. Probably even happens before the dars and after the dars. See how people park their cars in the car park? Everybody wants a prime spot. Everybody wants an exclusive spot to park their car. Everybody wants a spot that will allow them to rush home straight away without any blockage. No consideration for anybody else. Absolutely none. Why have you come to the masjid for? To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or for your own goal? Because the reasons are selfish. That's why people behave in such a selfish way. In the car park, in the foyer, whilst coming into the masjid, before and after salah. A few Ramadans ago, in the month of Ramadan, here, the whole Jumu'ah khutbah, I believe it was the third Jumu'ah of Ramadan a few years ago. The whole Jumu'ah khutbah that I gave, including the Urdu and the English speech, was on how we must not violate the perfection, the completeness and the sanctity of our fast by arguing. And I mentioned and explained the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the same hadith that I just quoted earlier, Allah Azza wa Jal says, this hadith Qudsi, Allah Azza wa Jal says, كل عمل ابن آدم له إلا الصيام فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به والصيام جنة فإذا كان يوم الصوم أحدكم فلا يرفث ولا يسخب فإن سابه أحد أو قاتله فليقل إني صائم والذي نفس محمد بيده لخلوف فم الصائم أتيب عند الله من ريح المسك للصائم فرحتان يفرحهما إذا أفطر فرح بفطره وإذا لقي ربه فرح بصومه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says that Allah Azza wa Jal says every deed of man belongs to him except fasting. For fasting is for me and I shall reward it. Fasting is a shield. Therefore when one of you fasts on any particular day, then let him not say something evil or lewd with his tongue. And let him not scream or raise his voice. And if anyone abuses him or argues with him, then let him say in reply, I am fasting. And then I won't translate the rest of the hadith. That, the whole khutbah was about not breaking our fast spiritually by arguing, by controlling ourselves, by disciplining ourselves, controlling our tongue. Yet, because of this selfishness, after the khutbah, Jumu'ah Salah was performed. After Jumu'ah Salah was performed, after the Salam, when people stood up to pray their sunnahs, one person was in the fourth or fifth row. He touched the person in front of him and he said to him, "Can you move forward please slightly?" So he said, "No, you move back." "No, no, you move forward." "No, you move back." Started arguing. So one of them said to the, "Come on then, come on outside." So he said, "Wait, let me just pray my two sunnah that I'm coming." "Let me pray my two sunnah that I'm coming." What did we hear in the khutbah? What did we get from the salah? What does he seek to achieve in the two rakah salah when throughout he's probably planning his moves and his kicks and his punches? In the car park as well. Arguments, fights. Muslims running into one another. Deliberately. Why? Because get out of my way. I want to go. No patience. It's all out of selfishness. Even in ibadah, what do we seek to achieve? When we come to the masjid, we should come with a particular intention, in a particular frame of mind. People come to the masjid for Jumu'ah. They couldn't care less which masjid they go to, how they go, how they pray, and how they come out. As long as the person can feel, "I've done my Jumu'ah and that's it." People come into the masjid. I'm not saying this because of myself being an imam. I say this in general, that when a person comes to pray salah and he stands behind an imam, he should recognize that I am standing behind this person and he is my representative before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this salah. And that's why there should be a rapport and a bond between the imam of the congregation and the congregation itself.